know where the elders would be. Not that I'm claiming to be an elder, guys. Only sometimes when the senior moments come, but which is quite often. But anyways, we're going to be presenting on culturally appropriate HIV capacity building among Pacific Islander organizations in Southern California. And thanks to our funders, Office of Minority Health, this was such a great opportunity for us where we can get our three partners together and collaborate, and did wonders with the project. So we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of some insight. And again, Hafarei Todos Hamtu, which is hello, everyone. Okay, here are our partners. And as you will see, we have a lot of pictures. Pacific Islanders love pictures. They love food, they have laughter, and they love pictures. Okay, our first group. Oh, sorry. Go back, okay. Kananafo Samoan Congregational Christian Church. This partner is from the Los Angeles area. They are a faith-based organization. And the second group is the National Organization for the Advancement of Chamorro People. They are based in Los Angeles and in Orange County. And the last one is Pacific Islander Festival Association, which is PIFA. PIFA, and I don't see our, he was here earlier, our partner, and he said he was going to wear his PIFA hat and support me and go rah-rah, but he bailed out on me at the last minute. I've got to talk to that man.
He's outside.
Okay, but yeah, Pacific Islander Festival Association is, I forgot about the National Organization for the Advancement of Chamorro People. I'm jumping the gun here. I'm thinking of the time here, guys. But NOACP is actually a Chamorro organization that has been involved with a lot of, we like to call it in our Chamorro language, activism. They go out there and they talk about what issues Chamorros need to think about and be out there and be known and have their voices heard. But okay, now for Pacific Islander Festival Association, PIFA is the largest festival in San Diego. It's a two-day festival where you have exhibit booths, you have cultural dances for all the Pacific Islanders, which is the Micronesian, Melanesian, and Polynesian islands. Okay, and I do not want to forget our great partner, Asian Pacific AIDS Intervention Team. They are our consulting partner, and they did a lot of our trainings to our partners. Okay, now our program principles. We actually collaborated with the three groups and in bringing together the faith and community based as collaborations in building their capacity, increasing the awareness and knowledge of our HIV and AIDS issues within the different Islander groups. This was such a needed program for us because it has never been done before. This was the first time that you have a faith-based, a community-based organization come together and talk and sit at the table and help each other and promote the awareness and education. And then too, in thinking principles, we need to incorporate what is culturally appropriate for us as Pacific Islanders. So of course, we like to do a lot of the hugging, the kissing, the eating, the talking stories, and a lot of the dancing sometimes. And this is where we learn from each other. In you have the individual organization and the individual community have their different cultures, and they sit and they share their cultures, they share their interests. But all together, they have respect for each other. I mean, this is who we are. We are Samoans. This is who we are. We are Chamorros. But together, as collaboratives, they share. They like to talk about what it is that involves the Samoan as a faith-based group. The Chamorros talk about Chamorros as a community. And then they say, well, you know, the Samoans, we go into our churches, and this is how we share information. Well, the Chamorros go, oh, no, we like to have fiestas and parties, you know. This is how we share information. We kind of just sit there, talk, and eat, and then we talk some more, and we eat some more. But in teaching each other their different resources of how they get their information, how they distribute it out, they learn from each other. They go, oh man, we should, you know, and that's your mark, we should go to church more often, you know, because we like to party, we should go to church just to kind of keep things at a level. But in doing this, you have, and this applies to both of them, the both Samoans, and because this is who we have as partners, we apply the faith, the family, and the food, which is very essential, okay? The social protocols, of course, which is, I was just mentioning before, is the respect, the acceptance, and the caring. And it goes for both. It goes for both communities. Ah, here is our community. This is a training that we had at GCN, and in memory of one of our staff, Judy Flores was a part of our project partners. And midway through the project, she passed away. And so that kind of left us, you know, at a, wow, you know, we've lost a friend, we've lost a partner. So, and Judy Flores is the one with the gray hair. And they, at first, the partners come together and they sit and they kind of look at each other and they kind of talk like, oh, okay, we're here to do this project. And okay, we're here to do a training, we're here to do a meeting. But you don't see that collaboration. You don't see that strength around the group. But as time went on, this is a three-year project that we had done. As years went on, and as the group started coming together and talking and learning about each other, it got stronger. And through these community activities, you have each other supporting. Like some of the Chamorros would go to Samoan Siva. Dance, you know, they'd actually even go up there and they throw the money to them and they're dancing. They even get up there and dance with, you know, with the tanas. And so, and some of the Samoan leaders would come to the Chamorro fiestas and they would eat the kelaguin, the red rice, and they experience each other's cultures. So we have, you have all of this involved. You have the family, the faith, the fiestas, the social groups, the cultural groups, all together, and this is what really, really sets the tone for the group. Okay. Now, community challenges. Well, we all know that. We all know the community challenges, right? The feelings of shame, acceptance, and the fear of God, religion, confidentiality, and the proud culture. Sometimes the proud culture just kind of sets you back a little bit. A lot of times, you have, for example, with our Samoan partner, the faith-based, the Tanao told me that, you know, Lou, she says, when we first started this project, and I would come up to the ladies and I would tell them about the project and I would talk about, you know, we need to sit down and talk about HIV and AIDS, they all kind of look at me like I was crazy. You know, they saw, what, are we hearing you right? But you know, through persistence, and she says, after a while, and I kept, you know, talking to the group, and sometimes she would bring some of her community members to trainings. She would bring them to the meetings. So it helped them understand what the project was about. And in this case, it helped her to be not only a mentor, but it helped to bring out that issue of, hey, we need to address this because it happens in our community. And now she says that a lot of their partners are talking about it, and a lot of the community members are talking, and they're talking amongst each other. Okay, our program objectives. Developing the collaborative, which we did. This is where they all got together and sat at the table, and they started talking, their stories. Capacity building and technical assistance is where a lot of the partners got together, and they had trainings with media and other grant writing and other issues that pertain to them. They have also become advocates, mentors, and in doing so, they were leaders in their own, and they mentored a lot of their community members too as well. Needs assessment. There was a needs assessment done with the partners, and I'm going to pass this on to Jay, and Jay can move forward with this.
Oh, is it from here?
Yeah.
Here on?
I left it.
11?
No, you go ahead. Yeah, you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, my name is Jay Ehrman. I'm the community health nurse for Guam Communications Network. So from here on, I'll take on the rest of the presentation. So out of the program, we had three objectives. As we go, each year had an objective. So the first year was developing the collaborative. And the collaborative comes from the three counties, Los Angeles, Orange County, and LA. And the community gatherings were at each of those at each of those counties. So we get together, we have our meetings, decide how are we going to address HIV and AIDS. And at times it's difficult because you're bringing community and faith-based organizations together. And especially when you address HIV in a faith-based setting, it's sometimes difficult. However, the breakthrough that we were able to have with the faith-based organizations is that the leaders in the church knew that this was a very significant issue to deal with the population, and that one way or the other, you had to address it. You could address it individually, and how we did it was there were men's and women's groups, and they were able to address the HIV and AIDS issues within those groups. However, when they came together as a congregation, there's certain protocol. There's things you can and cannot speak about within church. But through those methods and styles, and which is what we also learned about in the collaboration, they were able to successfully address it in a different way than the usual protocol of having your pastor preach about no sex or anything like that, because that's stuff that you can't really talk about out in church. The other thing that was developed within year one was the development of the logo. So this logo that you see right here was came out of the ideas of every single person in the collaborative. And as you see, the red ribbon for AIDS, our hands, the tree, the coconut tree, and of course the plumeria, the island flower. Ooh, so this is very sensitive. Objective two, which is capacity building and technical assistance. So the second year of OMH, this included like the media trainings that we provided for our partners. So that meant like building PSAs and that addressed faith-based women and children's and community. So we developed PSAs that are really readily available. As you we'll see at the end of this presentation, we have contact information. If you would like to use those PSAs wherever it is that you'd like to address HIV and AIDS, then we'd be happy to share that with you guys. We also had advocacy training, as Antilu was talking about earlier. We got our partners to a level where they can advocate for AIDS, HIV and AIDS services at a different state, national levels, to signify that this is really something significant within our population. Grant training and coaching, that's self-explanatory, and also research, evaluation, training, and developing the needs assessment was also something that that the partners had a lot of input in developing, because you can have a needs assessment and it has all these questions, but if the partners and the rest of the community see something that they can't really relate to, they're not going to check any boxes, or they're not going to really get into that. So we had the partners come in and have a lot of input in that, so that they can curtail it to the rest of the community, that they'll be able to participate fully. I'm going to rush through these things, but here's some of the statistics pertinent statistics that came out of that needs assessment. You see the ethnicities involved, the gender and age groups. The really alarming statistic was education level. So it's like 59% had a high school education or less. So when you think about Pacific Islander communities, the educational level, it's not as high. From the sample that we got. And that's also significant because, the needing for retaining information about HIV awareness and prevention. Where our participants are from, the majority of you could see 42% from California, but still Pacific Islanders, like second generation. Annual household income. And our household size, this is very reminiscent of Pacific Islander families of an average household of five, meaning mom, dad, and then three children, or it could it could be two children, an aunt, or two grandparents, a child, and under 18 years old, usually more than three children. And church is very important to the Pacific Island community. As you can see over here, as 73%, most of the participants within the surveys are affiliated with a church. 87% have had health care coverage or insurance, and 77% had either seen a provider about their health within the past 12 months. But this is also, I'm talking about in health in general, but this is not really a true statistic about what's really going around the whole Pacific Islander community in terms of health coverage. There's a lot of Pacific Islanders that do not have health coverage, so just keep that in mind. Health behaviors. The alarming statistic is that we played bingo regularly. Yeah, right. important thing to look at is in the middle of where the children and the parents interact in terms of HIV education. So in fact, their conversations, 73% on education, 82% on talking with themselves in their native language, 87% about drugs, 90% about sex. But we know probably that 10% is probably about protection, HIV and stuff. So and then 76% talking with families about nutrition, health history. Statistic over here about the disease diagnoses are more amongst the older adults than the young adults. And STD rates are 6% with the young adults as compared to 4% with the older adults. 32% have tested for HIV, took the HIV test, in which 4% were positive. And when we were talking about the education question, if you look all the way to the right where it says answered HIV knowledge questions incorrectly, so pretty high. Some of the accomplishments from the program, like I said earlier, the PSAs, the engagement, civic engagement experience. And also we've had a chance to shape some of the policies of HIV and AIDS within the state of California. Got the partners actually wrote grants for their own agencies and got funded. And of course, the needs assessment that we alluded to earlier. And that's the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Luis, did you just
not?